Welcome back here with us with Wellness Connection. Here in the studio, we have a visitor. We have Dr. Nelly Whitaker, and she's here to discuss her journey. She has a particular diet-based journey that she believes very strongly with, and she actually introduces this plant-based journey to most of her patients. We're back here with Karen Bell and Gerard, our producer.
Jared,
the producer.
It's Jared. It's cool. It's cool. I'm just chilling.
I wrote it down.
Yeah, it's down there phonetically. We doing great. Dr. Whitaker, take it away.
So one of the things I do is I read daily, every single day. I'm at the Health Sciences Library and I read medical articles. And also for years and years, like 28 years to be exact, I went to Johns Hopkins Medical Grand Rounds. So I spend a lot, Johns Hopkins Department of Medicine Grand Rounds.
What does that mean?
That's an education session that doctors have to do to keep up their education credits, because you need 20 a year, I believe, in Maryland. And so I do that, and I do online CMEs. I no longer go to Johns Hopkins, but I read every single day.
Okay.
And I was morbidly obese myself, and I had read that, well, you can lose weight if you exercise an hour a day, but if you're African American, you need to exercise an hour and a half a day. So I set out for 6 years exercising an hour and a half a day. And if I was normal body weight, it was like just a split second. If I even looked at a pork chop, I was overweight again. And then I got an invitation to a meeting given by Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. They're out of Washington, D.C. They're run by Dr. Neil Barnard. And it invited me to a class to find out what causes cancer. And before that, I'd had my favorite patient die of cancer. And she actually had two cancers in her body, and I'd never seen anyone that had two cancers. So I went to the class, and they talked about the Seventh-day Adventist studies. They have a large group of Adventists out in Loma Linda, California, and they do a lot of medical studies. And they compare, for one thing, they compare themselves to Baptists, because Baptists don't drink much and they don't smoke much, but they do eat the standard American diet. And Seventh-day Adventists, even the one, they're mostly vegetarian. There are a few vegans, but they, you know, they also don't smoke much and don't drink much. So that day, and then the next day, they talked about health conditions like hypertension, diabetes, heart disease. And the third day, it was sort of a final wrap up. And I walked out of that 3-day class a vegan, and the weight flew off.
So you were talking a little bit about the difference between your rate of weight loss, even though you had already made the determination that you needed to lose weight, you switched over to a vegan diet.
Whole foods vegan diet means very few processed, if no processed foods at all.
Okay. And you compare that to the standard American diet. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by, when you say standard American diet, describe what you mean by that?
Well, typically it's what I ate growing up, and it's, there's a portion of meat, usually the biggest thing on the plate, maybe some sort of a starch or grain like rice or perhaps potatoes, usually white potatoes, which aren't great in nutrition. And usually a little sprig of parsley, or one patient once told me that she has a tablespoon of green beans every night. I said, a tablespoon? That's really, you're supposed to eat about 9 to 13 fruits and vegetables a day. That's what the recommendation is for adults. And most people don't come near that. A lot of vegans and vegetarians don't come near that, mm-hmm. but I try to do that. The other reason I eat this way is for my brain, because your brain is mostly made of fat, and you need half omega-3 and half omega-6 fat. Well, if you eat a high meat diet, you don't get many omega-3s, and that's really where your brain power comes from. So, for instance, like my diet consists of a lot of leaves, because all leaves have more omega-3 than 6. And I concentrate a lot on kidney beans, pinto beans, and green beans, and they all have more omega-3 than 6. I eat some walnuts every day, and they have a good amount of omega-3 as well. So, I'm a healthcare professional. I need my brain for a long time, and that's why I eat the way I do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, I hear when you speak about a vegan diet and your journey and your motivating factor to look deeper into becoming a vegan has been weight loss. But there's so many other benefits that, as I was reading, that also give value to maybe someone in our community would rather tap into. Maybe they're at their ideal weight and that's not necessarily their interest. What other motivating factors would you say exist in becoming a vegan?
Okay. Well, 4 days on a whole foods plant-based diet without added oil, your pain goes away. So many people suffer from back pain, shoulder pain, neck pain, knee pain, and your pain absolutely disappears. Because as I reminded people when I went to a pain management medical meeting, that nerves need blood flow too. And every time we eat foods high in cholesterol and saturated fat, we narrow our arteries. And at some point, there's just no blood flow. If you look at an MRA, which we don't do in this country, of the lower back, what we'll find of a person who ate the standard American diet, there are tons and tons of clogged, tiny little clogged blood vessels. And those are supposed to feed into our, you know this better than I do, you know that anatomy much better than I do, but they're supposed to feed into your arteries that lead into your discs and the nerves coming off of your discs. So a major contributor, I believe, to the opioid epidemic is how we feed our children and how we allow people to eat fast food every day, no nutrition, very, very high in fat, often trans fat that's worse than saturated fat. And they get pain. And then if they happen to have a surgery or have an injury, they don't recover because no one tells them you have to change your diet to get rid of this pain.
Dr. Whitaker, a very good point you just made. And I think that with the opioid epidemic that we're trying to transcend out of right now is a major thing. I see all my patients, one of the things that prohibit them from developing or moving in the area of quality living in the therapeutic intervention that we provide is that they say, I'm in pain. The medicine's not really helping. I need more. So this is a very vital point that you're bringing to the table, that having a plant-based diet could be more effective with helping to promote some relief from pain. And what else would you, what other point would you also say that being a vegan, that would be something that would attract to the community today?
Well, if they have diseases, certainly the cost of medical care has skyrocketed, and we really can't afford it, considering that we focus so much on interventions like surgeries and very, very expensive medications to treat cancers and neurological diseases and such. And so when you start a plant-based diet, many of the, and you are 100% or nearly 100%, you apply yourself nearly 100%, then many of these diseases go away. And that is the big mystery in medicine, and most doctors don't know that your diseases can go away. I personally, when I practice and I talk to my patients, morbid obesity, plaque psoriasis, two age-related macular degeneration improved. That's the leading cause of blindness in adults. Diabetes went away. Lymphoma went away. And these are just a few patients that would listen to me. And if all of them listened more and really followed my directions, you know, those medicines go out, you know, they're gone. And then the other thing about medications is that doctors are supposed to tell you all the side effects. We have a 2,000-page book of side effects of medications, and nobody tells you all of those things. But patients get these side effects. The number three killer in our country is actually iatrogenic, which means doctors have caused your death. Nothing through any fault of theirs. They didn't tell you to take the medication any differently. They didn't advise, the pharmacist didn't fill it wrong. You just died because the medication was dangerous. And so there's so much value to being off of these things and living a cleaner, healthier lifestyle. And the food actually tastes delicious. One of the things they know about a plant-based diet is that your taste buds change. Your taste buds actually learn to appreciate the natural taste of foods, like the sweetness of a raspberry or a strawberry, and even the bitterness of a piece of kale or collard green. Those flavors are intensified. And of course, then we have all the wonderful herbs and spices that are so valuable as far as phytonutrients are concerned.
Dr. Whitaker, I appreciate you bringing that point about taste buds, because as you know, as we get older, mm-hmm. our taste buds change. Mm. So is there any research or any input you can put, you know, express that, yes, this even affects the quality of living as you get older, that your taste buds are a little bit more sharper by being a vegan?
I don't have any evidence of that. I'm sure that study might be, someone may be working on that, but I don't have that evidence right now. I do know that your taste buds change. They may not become sharper, but they do change so that you learn to appreciate the tastes of natural foods. You know, our taste buds, because food manufacturers load our foods with fat, salt, and sugar, I mean, if it's not sugar, it doesn't taste sweet after a while. If it's not like lard almost, it doesn't taste fatty anymore. Whereas nuts are wonderfully fatty, but they don't cause weight gain. There's no cholesterol, so they don't clog your arteries. They're a wonderful form of fat, and they're very, very healthful for you. Mm-hmm. And nuts and seeds.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because you talked earlier about trans fat, but we have polyunsaturated fat, which is, would you consider that to be a positive fat?
It's a healthier fat than mono and polyunsaturated fats are definitely healthier than saturated fats. And by far, trans fats are the worst. We can read our labels on our foods and look for partially hydrogenated oil or hydrogenated oil, but every piece of meat you eat has trans fat in it. Particularly beef has trans fats. So you can't, unless you tell people not to eat those things, they're still getting trans fats in their diet, even if they're the best label reader.
I know I was talking to you earlier about one of the questionable concerns about not having animal products being B12. Mm-hmm. But I believe you suggested that there was a solution to that. What was
that? There used to be plenty of B12 in our diet when we ate food that was dirtier, but everything's been so clean by the time we get it. So now only animal foods have B12, and you'd have to take a B12 supplement. You can either take 250 micrograms a day. It should be sublingual, liquid, or chewable, because tablets really don't work. And or you can take 2,500 micrograms a week, and that's what I take. Once a week.
Very good.
And it provides adequate B12. Vegans don't do well without B12. They have a lot of neurological difficulties. It doesn't happen right away. It might happen in 2 or 3 years, but you really do have to supplement with B12. You should have some flax seeds every day. Again, high in omega-3, the highest food source of omega-3. Mm-hmm. So everyone should have a tablespoon or two of flax seed. You can grind the meal yourself, or you can buy them already ground and keep them refrigerated. They do better that way.
Yes. Very good. That is some very, very informative information that you suggested, and also provided some positive reason why we should look at a vegan diet. When I was doing my research, I also learned that being a vegan, having a plant-based diet also had a positive effect on fighting cancer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Some cancers are reversible with a vegan, with a whole foods vegan diet. I mean, vegan, you can be a vegan and eat French fries and, you know, chips and bagels, and it's not a healthy diet at all. Some people say it's even worse than the standard American diet. You really need to eat foods that are as natural as possible. You know, grab a banana, grab an apple, stir up some green beans, eat a salad. You know, salad is probably the most healthful food to eat. And for your protein, you should put beans on your salad and a handful of nuts and seeds.
Yes. Nuts have a high level of protein, and also beans. Mm-hmm. Any particular bean group, because there are several types out there that you would suggest that has the highest content of protein that would
Well, I think they're all pretty similar in protein, but as far as phytonutrients, there's something called adduki beans that are the highest. I've tried them. I don't particularly like them. I tend
to.
Hence
the name.
It's a bean they eat a lot in Japan.
Oh, okay.
So
how do you spell that?
A-D-U-K-I.
Adduki.
Yes.
Not a separate word, dookie. It's two words, not three.
Yes, okay. A dookie.
Because ain't nobody eating a dookie bean if it's two words. If it's three words, ain't nobody eating that. I'm not even going to advocate for that.
But so I love black beans. They're my favorite.
Right, okay.
I eat a lot of kidney beans and pinto beans. And the reason is that they're higher in omega-3 than omega-6. And green beans also, which are not considered beans, but they're higher in omega-3 than omega-6. So I really eat for my brain. I do.
And I can relate to that fully. I was sharing with someone earlier this week. I said I exercise and I have my wellness days, not for anything but for my quality of life. Mm-hmm. And I get joy out of that. That allows me to smile. Most of my patients says, "You're always smiling. Why is that?" I said, "Well, I'm enjoying life." So I can relate to that.
Well, I did do some research on exercise, and I want to tell you that it improves your mental health. It improves your cognitive health. So you actually think better when you're exercised regularly. It improves your sleep quality.
Is this one? You had four things.
Mm-hmm.
Is this one of them?
Exercise is one of them.
All right. So to keep it in order, I know we've been kind of going back and forth. Why don't we run through the four in the order that you prepared them?
Okay.
And that way everybody will be able to kind of follow along and not be like, man, they all over the place. So I know you prepared four things.
The first one is don't smoke. And if you do smoke, a plant-based diet makes a big difference. In countries where they eat a lot of plants, they smoke as much as Americans do.
You mean tobacco?
And you don't smoke tobacco.
Okay.
Yeah. Really anything.
Very
but,
good question.
But tobacco is what I'm talking about right now.
Yeah, because, you know, with
they don't get the emphysema and they don't get the other types of asthma and things that Americans get because they eat more plants, because of those phytonutrients protecting their health. If you do smoke and you've smoked about 20 years, you really need to talk to your doctor about getting a CAT scan. It's called a low-dose CAT scan of the lungs, because it can pick up an early lung cancer. And they're best cured when they're removed early. So if you've been smoking a while and your doctor hasn't recommended that screening, there are certain criteria you have to meet. If you meet the criteria, get the test done. I have one patient that it did save her life. It did save her life because she was in a study and she did have to pay $75 for the test. It's very cheap for a CAT scan. She went the first time, nothing. The second time, nothing. The third time, a tiny little thing, too small to biopsy. Fourth time, it had quadrupled in size. They removed it. It was a very advanced, very aggressive advanced lung cancer, and it saved her life.
So
get that screening test.
So these four things... Just to be clear, these four things, what are they four things for?
Okay. To be healthy.
Four, so what's the snazzy way we could say it? Here are four keys to achieve and maintain your health.
Yes.
All right. So here we go. Okay. So we're going to call it Dr. Whitaker's four keys to changing
optimal health.
So here we go with Dr. Whitaker's four keys to optimal wealth. The first, don't smoke.
Yes.
Tobacco.
The second is actually don't be overweight. And because a recent study actually that surprised me was that even overweight takes 10 years off your life. And consider that if you have children, if you have grandchildren, that's 10 years you won't have the time to spend with them. So overweight is not good. There are numerous studies looking at dietary intake, and what we find, again, is that people that eat meat tend to be overweight or obese. People that are pesco vegetarians, meaning they eat a little fish, they still overweight. People who are vegetarians that eat dairy are still overweight, although less so. And then vegans are the only group that maintains normal body weight, about an average 22 BMI for men and 21 for women.
So one of the interesting things about that, I know that sort of I spent some time in Europe right? And in Asia, and with people who had a, who were kind of omnivorous, they ate some of everything. But there was, you didn't see nearly the level of obesity in those places. So I know that the meat eating in the American diet seems to be a major contributing factor, but in general, in other places, you didn't see the rates of obesity, even though their diets included these other things. What do you think that distinction may be attributed to?
Well, you know, we see people out in restaurants, and restaurants typically don't serve the healthiest foods. But I would suspect that in, like, for instance, in Great Britain, they eat beans and brown bread for breakfast, and we have an egg McMuffin with cheese. So there are differences to the other meals that people are eating, and every little bit helps.
Right. Well, I mean,
activity plays a role, but actually 85% of weight loss is actually diet and only 15% is activity. Mm-hmm. And that's why I found myself struggling to get to normal body weight, even though I was exercising an hour and a half a day, 6 days a week for 11 years. And I still really had a difficulty maintaining normal body weight.
Mm. Question, Dr. Whitaker, where does stress play in this whole entire factor, especially with regards to, say, if you have a vegan diet, and but yet you have a high stress load in your life, are the results still the same?
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, you'd find that you're less likely to become anxious or depressed because your brain is getting nutrition. Mm-hmm. It really does make a difference because I like to tell people that suppose we all went out to lunch and everyone had a hugely beautiful, colorful salad. And we walk out, we get to the curb, and I walk out first and the car almost hits me. My body sucks up all those antioxidants. So you can imagine Mr. Chicken in his cage, and he's plucking away. And then some night somebody comes, picks him up by his feet and puts him in a truck, for goodness sakes. He's lost all the antioxidants for you. And it takes humans about 3 to 4, I think even a month or more, to regain the antioxidants that they lose from a fright or a scare. Mm, and that chicken he won't have that month to regain it. So you just don't get the phytonutrients in animal foods.
So if you're going to eat an animal food, you should only
you should eat it live
from a long distance. Something that got taken out by a sniper they didn't see it coming.
We'd have to test that.
There's no advanced trauma. It's just like, you know, just got taken out
just
by
gone.
Yeah.
But they still,
that's fascinating though.
Even if they check humans, we don't have many phytonutrients because we're always using mm-hmm. them. Plants are where we get our phytonutrients. They're there for humans to eat. Humans are actually natural herbivores. Mm-hmm. We're natural mm-hmm. herbivores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good.
So third, I think we talked about exercise.
I cut you off. We were to talk about exercise. We said, don't smoke. We said,
don't
be overweight. And then what's number three?
That is exercise.
All right.
Exercise.
Here we go.
And I think, so if you cut that off, then what I have is that I have to read this.
Yeah, if you want to put the paper on this side so that you can be on mic while you read it, that's fine.
I'm supposed to take my glasses.
So this paper rustling is just
Dr. Doctor's notes. So there are numerous benefits to exercise. It improves your mental health, so you're much more likely to be happier. It improves your brain health, your cognitive health. You think better, you think clearer. You can figure out things better. Your sleep quality is much, much improved. Helps prevent cancer, not as much as a vegan diet, but there is cancer protection with additional exercise. It lowers blood pressure. It improves your immune function, so you're less likely to get sick. When they interview people that exercise, you find they don't get a lot of colds. And it extends your life, okay? And in addition, it's easier to maintain weight loss. The best way to lose weight is through a vegan diet, but to maintain your weight, exercise always works to help maintain your weight, particularly if you lose it through the standard American diet.
All right. I can attest to my own personal experience with the times when in my life where I was more strenuously physically engaged with exercise. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt like Superman.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like Superman. Yeah. And it's just getting over the, it's just going through the process of ingraining those habits, you know, and getting it really.
Well, I was running at the point where I was still eating the standard American diet. I was running. And, you know, if anybody here has ever run, you
oh,
get
so
this
crazy.
Runner's high, and right. you have to go out regardless. I wear glasses, and I would have to do windshield wipers because it would be so misty and foggy, and I couldn't see.
Right.
But I had to get out and get that run in.
Right.
And actually, the run is the same. They used to think it was endorphins, but it's endocannabinoid receptors that are running. So it's
right.
the same high that people get when they smoke marijuana from
very
running.
Interesting. I didn't right. know that because yeah. I run. Yeah.
Not right, as, so you don't need to smoke.
Yeah,
it's a good thing. Yeah,
you don't.
Like
yeah,
smoke.
You don't need. Yeah, you don't need the. You don't need the that dro.
There is a high with running. I will definitely tell you that.
Yes, that's why I like it. And even in the wintertime, I mean, you become immune to the coldness, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and I don't like cold.
Oh, feels great.
It feels awesome.
It feels great.
Yeah.
My experience with running in the cold, there were some added circumstances around it that might have elevated the stress level of the run, so I didn't necessarily get that buzz because somebody was yelling at me, and you know there was a whole bunch of other stuff going on, but it was still like being out in the cold, and that cold air at 4:30 in the morning, yeah. It was exhilarating. Mm-hmm. I will attest
yes,
to that.
That's a good
definitely
word.
It was exhilarating.
But I remind people you have to take that with caution because. Every year, and these runners, they have to qualify to get into the New York Marathon, the Boston Marathon. People drop dead in those races
yeah.
every
yes.
year from coronary artery disease.
Yep.
And it's because eating the standard American diet is really deadly. When they looked at a series of about 6,000 children who died of accidents, maybe they were drowned, maybe they were in car accidents or falls or whatever, other injuries. They couldn't find one American child who was 10 or above who didn't have significant cholesterol narrowing. During the Korean War, they did a study, and during the Vietnam War, they did a study looking at soldiers. The average age was 22, and they all had significant cholesterol narrowing. And then I guess maybe three or four months ago, I looked at a study that did a total body MRA. And they took people who had no cardiovascular risk, no hypertension, no diabetes, nothing. And they all had significant artery narrowing at some place or another. These were so-called healthy people. So the diet is deadly. But the good news is that when you stop eating those things, that reverses itself. And your arteries definitely go back to being completely clear and normal.
So you can get out there and run and maybe not drop dead in the middle of the race, even though you feel great and look great.
Yeah, yeah.
Dr. Whitaker, that's a good piece of information that I was not aware of so far as the extensibility and the change once you develop more of a plant-based diet that your arteries now sort of go back mm-hmm. to yeah. before where the healthy back to.
Every single way of measuring the heart, whether it's a stress echo, whether it's an angiogram, every single test has shown reversal with a whole foods plant-based diet. The reason I say whole foods is that processed foods just don't give you the nutrients you need mm-hmm. to revert. But and then you get your health back, you know, able to run after not even being able to walk across a room.
Mm-hmm. Do you find in the cardiac region of the medical field that they emphasize the value with plant-based diet?
It's happening. A few years ago, we had an African-American head of the American College of Cardiology. His name was Dr. Kim Williams. And Dr. Williams wrote an op-ed in the New York Times. And he said, I know I have to die, but I just don't want it to be my fault. He had measured his cholesterol, and his cholesterol was always low because he was a tennis player and he always was very active, but his cholesterol had gone up. And so he decided, well, I'm just going to eat fake meat. I'm going to give up meat. He knew it was caused by meat mm-hmm. and his cholesterol went down. And that was a light going off. This man has dedicated himself to educating every cardiologist in the country. That's his goal, is to educate every cardiologist in the country regarding the value of a plant-based diet. Because, you know, you see the same patients coming back and back, mm-hmm. and they just don't get better.
Yes.
Despite the cost of these studies, mm-hmm. the cost of these medications, mm-hmm. and they get more and more invasive upon your body. And that you don't get better.
Very good. That was a very good point. You're stressing that there's no change. As a physician,
I mean, they live longer. Mm-hmm. But what we know is mm-hmm. a person that takes their statin mm-hmm. for years and years, after about 20 years, they actually become disabled because the cholesterol has gotten into their muscles, into mm-hmm. their liver, into their brain. They may develop Alzheimer's disease. And even though the numbers are normal, the numbers will look normal. The LDL looks fine, but the arteries keep clogging up because of the food that they're putting in their mouth. And so patients need to know the value. Drug companies need to be more upfront about the value of their medications and be upfront with doctors about it. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, there's a lot of incentives that are counter to that information mm-hmm. really getting it to the people who need it. Mm-hmm. Like there's so much. Yeah, I mean, the incentives are misaligned mm-hmm. for this type of approach to mm-hmm. living to really spread.
And it's not taught. As a matter of fact, I think they asked doctors, and doctors said that they wanted to have less nutrition study. Actually, chiropractors and other alternative medicine practitioners usually know a lot more about nutrition than MDs do. It's sad. So if you're going to your doctor to get information about nutrition, you're probably going to get wrong information.
Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting point. And I do see that. I see that as I get the clients mm-hmm. and they're not even understanding the ramifications of their recent heart attack mm-hmm. and why they should even look at nutrition as an issue, because mm-hmm. that's something we discuss, how to change your habits and look at food a little different mm-hmm. so that we don't revisit this maybe in a different way. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's not being necessarily taught or emphasized, even brought to clarity, because here, you know, they're just thinking, just reduce the salt. That's mm-hmm. all you hear, reduce mm-hmm. the salt. Mm-hmm. But there's so much.
And that's very hard to do, because 77% of the salt is already in the food. Even the chicken that they buy, the fresh chicken, mm-hmm. is loaded with sodium. Mm-hmm. Cheese is one of the highest sodium foods there is. And yet people, they think that just by not shaking it on the food on the table, mm-hmm. that makes a difference. That's only 7% of the sodium intake, so it really doesn't make a difference. And with regard to blood pressure control, sodium restriction can work, but it has to be very, very significantly reduced. And the best way to do that is through whole foods, plant-based diet.
Right.
It's hard to do if you're eating any animal foods because they're loaded with sodium. Mm-hmm. Humans from day one love salt, fat, and sugar. And whenever they can get those things, they tend to eat as much of it as they can possibly eat.
It's like a craving.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
an addiction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we up to three. So we talked about don't smoke, don't be overweight, get exercise.
Mm-hmm. Well, the last one is what we've been talking about all along, and that's to eat a plant-based diet. And what that involves, because you asked me what it involves, your plate could be divided into four pieces. One section would be fruit. One section would be a whole grain, like brown rice or quinoa or whole wheat pasta. And one section would be beans, always beans. And
vegetables.
And vegetables. The most important vegetarian vegetables.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So, and I remind people that leaves are some of our healthiest vegetables. And I would say, you know, if you're going to have some pasta, put some leaves under it. If you're going to have a soup, throw some spinach in it. Always add some green leaves because they're so healthy for you and they're just packed with phytonutrients.
Very good. With taking, are you?
I have a question.
Okay.
So, are there some plants that we tend to eat that perhaps should avoid? Like, you know, because there's some. Are there some plants that are a part of the diet?
Well, anything that you're allergic to, of course. You know, a lot of people are allergic to soy. they just can't tolerate soy. I think about 20% of the population is allergic to soy, but there are other alternative milks,
right.
Almond milk, oat milk, there's hemp milk. There are loads of different kinds of alternative types of milk. But anything anyone's allergic to, they shouldn't eat it.
I think you were just sharing with me, we talked a little bit about spinach. Mm-hmm. And because I think we have this false idea of what nutrients really are in spinach. Can you clarify that?
Papa Mesa gave us that information.
Well, spinach has, it's not at the highest of the leaves. It's on a scale of 1 to 1,000, where kale and collards and mustard and turnip greens are 1,000, chard 1,000. Spinach is about 800, which isn't bad. And the thing that's really good about spinach is very, very alkaline. It's one of our most alkaline foods. And they say, well, cancer can't grow in an alkaline body. I don't have any proof of that, but that's sort of an old wives' tale. Mm-hmm. And so we think of things like lemons and lemon juice as being very acidic. But in reality, our kidneys determine whether a food is acidic. Looking at our potential renal acid load, and it's a long calculation. You can figure it out for every food. But on the average, most plant foods are alkaline,
right.
And most animal foods are acidic, and cheese being, particularly hard cheese like cheddar cheese, being the most acidic foods. And your body is always buffering that acid. And so that's why we see so much osteoporosis in women and even some in men. Mm-hmm.
So,
cancer loves acid. Cancer loves acid.
Hates alkaline.
Yes.
All right. When I hear alkaline, I think batteries.
I had that thought in my head
as well. Yeah, I know y'all all thinking about alkaline batteries.
Yeah, there's one alkaline food I eat every day. It's oats. But oats, in a study done by Harvard University on women, it found that eating a cup of oatmeal a day made you live as long as running 5 miles a week for 25 years.
That is amazing.
You really get so many benefits from plant foods, even the ones that we don't think of as being super foods. Mm-hmm. They're just beneficial.
I never thought of oats as a plant food. That's interesting.
Yeah, anything that grows in the ground is a plant.
Right. what did you think it was?
I wasn't sure, but
corn. Corn's a plant food.
It's plant, but oats is
okay.
I'm trying to think what else could it be. It's got to come from a plant.
So what I'd encourage everyone to do is to try to eat foods high in phytonutrients, high in nutrition, colorful foods. If a food's bright colored, has a bright color,
but
it's
not
very
from yellow five. As long as it's bright color, but it's not from yellow five or red four. It's naturally bright in color.
Oh, yes, naturally bright colors.
Because red velvet cake is like
dangerous.
It's very rich in color. Okay, so naturally bright, colorful foods.
And the more you can put in your diet, the healthier you are. And the foods taste fantastic. Every day I eat a salad for dinner because salads are very important.
We talk about salad, your hour long to make salad. Mm-hmm. Tell us some of the stuff that you throw in that salad and what are you doing for an hour making a salad?
Well, I put muesli in my salad most days. Some days it'll be sweet potatoes or butternut squash, but my grain is muesli.
Muesli.
Now, muesli, it's Bob's Red Mill muesli. I don't know if I can say the brand, but
say
it has
brand.
About 9.
Bob's.
Bob's Red
Get
Mill.
At us, Bob's. Shout out Bob's Red Mill muesli. Muesli, I know muesli because I was living in Germany, mm-hmm. and that was very much a big part. That was a big part of like the breakfast.
Breakfast, there you go.
Yeah.
And
shout
the thing
Bob's.
About oats are the basis of most muesli, so I think mm-hmm. probably in Germany too. And oats really keep you feeling full because of all the fiber.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 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 It'll sit with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stone
yeah.
ground
So you're
oatmeal.
Not looking around. When I would eat that Big Mac or that breakfast sandwich, it was like hour later, I'm looking for something else to eat.
Right.
That throws me back to the past where you were told to sit down and, and actually eat your oats so that you can have a hearty meal and beef.
Yeah, eat your oatmeal. It's going to stick to your ribs.
Stick to your ribs, exactly. Yeah, so
so listen to your mothers and grandmothers. Yes.
Stick to your ribs.
And oatmeal is cheap.
That's
you buy
true.
A big box. I eat steel-cut oats myself, but and those are just chopped a couple times. But the big box is like, what, $5 last year, 2 months?
Yeah, I'll throw raw oats in my mouth.
Mm. I actually eat mine with a little water, a little moisture. Mm-hmm. And the reason I do that is because there's more resistant starch. Resistant starch is not digestible. It's like fiber, mm-hmm. but it keeps you feeling full very, very long. So cold potatoes are a really good form of resistant starch, but not like potato salad. You put all the mayonnaise and everything on it. But any cold food keeps you feeling full longer. Cold starch keeps you feeling full longer than a warm starch.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. I know that. That's a
and you're
going
to eat it a little slower, too.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine.
I don't mean ice
cold. You got to work with it.
Cold.
Yeah, work with it.
Very good. Awesome. So awesome.
Oats. We were talking about
beans.
Beans.
Yeah, we talked a lot about beans.
Beans are the food associated with living the longest. When they look at these blue zones, countries in the world where people have lived very old, the only food they have in common is beans. Beans are legumes. Split peas, black-eyed peas, kidney beans, navy beans. Beans, you know, good for your heart.
But
you know the rest.
Let me ask you, Dr. Whitaker, what do you suggest? Because a lot of people say they don't eat beans because they don't want to flatch.
Because of the gas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Flatch. So.
Flatch?
Yeah.
Flatulence.
Okay.
are we trying to make a new word up? Is that?
Well, all I can say
is flatulence, but flatch.
That animal foods actually take a long time to move through you. When you have fiber in your body, it moves through pretty quickly. So most vegan men have 3 bowel movements a day. Most vegan women have 2 bowel movements a day. I eat a lot, so I have 3 bowel movements a day. And the faster it moves through, particularly with breast cancer prevention, because that's how that extra estrogen leaves your body through your poop.
Very good.
When you consider that meat may stay in your body for 5 days, how does that smell when it comes out as gas?
Exactly.
Right.
It's a lot less odorous to me than, today I was in the bathroom at the hospital and the lady next door was doing number 2 and I sort of heard to get out of there.
So there you have it. Dr. Whitaker's poop doesn't stink.
I don't want to say that. Of course it does, but it doesn't smell as bad.
Hey, I don't know. We might want to take a look at that. I don't know. You're cool and all, but.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? The whole thing.
So, yeah, and if you start slow, if you're not used to eating beans, you might want to start with just a tablespoon and make sure you chew thoroughly and then drink water with them. You can get something called Beano, but when I started being a vegan, it never really helped me and it's expensive.
Right.
But just chew very, very thoroughly and you can build up that tolerance to beans. They recommend about a cup of beans a day, so that's not really a lot. Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, you know, they'll get used to it. Whoever's in your life. I mean, you know, it's like, hey, that's just what it is, yo. It's not even, they don't even talk.
But
it's
your
not
cheery
even,
disposition will make up for it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe that ain't it. Maybe it's just like, you just get used to it. You just know, okay, well, this is just what it's going to be.
But you know, in certain cultures,
it's not even a thing.
No, yeah, it's not.
And I've been around those people and it's kind of throwing me off. I'm like, are we just going to act like that just didn't happen?
No excuse me's whatsoever.
Nothing. No, not, don't even acknowledge. Like, we're not even going to acknowledge this. Okay, well, I'll play along. Because if you, you know, if someone, that's just really what you got. You just got to get that disposition where you don't, you can present this situation in a way that it's clear to you, it's clear to everyone around you that you're not going to acknowledge it as a thing. So it doesn't give them the space to do it. And then you're cool.
But well, you just my husband, get there. He giggle. Would always look
no
at somebody
giggling.
Like we're in a crowd. And if he has that, he would look at him really and sort of put it on the next person.
Yeah, I mean,
that's true.
It's right. You know, it's, as long as it's funny, as long as it's something that's funny, then it's something that you have to deal with. But you know, you gotta grow up.
Yeah.
Hey.
I find personally that if I mix my beans, I get a lot more gas. So I try not to have double beans.
That's
like, for instance, I don't mix. I mean, you can have a bean soup that has a lot of mixture because a lot of that stuff, when you mix the beans, it leaves.
It's like mixing light liquor and dark liquor. You don't mix whiskey and vodka.
Did you hear that?
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's a good one. That's a good one to know. Yeah.
Don't mix that, you know, if you want to have a glass of wine.
Speaking of alcohol,
yes.
What I didn't bring up when we talked about don't smoke is that women really can't drink. in a study what? Years ago that looked
well,
at,
I know that.
That looked
I've
at a
seen
half,
that.
I don't mean the outcomes. What I mean is that breast cancer is associated with almost any alcohol intake in women. So that one drink a day will definitely get you breast cancer. It's enough to get you breast cancer in women. Alcohol was put on the list of most carcinogenic, a list of carcinogens. And what we know is that even alcohol-based mouthwash increases your risk of mouth cancer 800 times.
What?
So alcohol is a carcinogen. Wow. It seems to affect men less than women. Men seem to do okay with their two drinks a day. Like what? A shot glass is one, and a beer, 8-ounce beer is one, and I forget what.
Glass of wine.
A glass of wine, yeah, would be one serving. Mm-hmm. And but women, I mean, you can toast the new year, you can toast your anniversary, Christmas time, but you don't want to toast, you know, every time somebody at work has a birthday, you don't want to go out afterward and have that glass of wine because it can really give you bad outcomes.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm a wine drinker.
They have not told women that. They're saying one glass a day is fine, but it really is associated with a high risk of breast cancer in women.
Mm. Thank you.
Well,
don't even go there.
I brought up the alcohol, so that's I don't drink a lot, but I do know the mixing thing doesn't work well. And that was just an analogy with the beans. That's all I say. You know, everybody has their choices to make. You know, we're all.
And another thing too. And I've been reading for years, and I read this a long time ago. If you smoke and drink, you're gonna get cancer.
Your probability is really high, huh?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, those things like go together.
So you want to try and give up one of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you do both, at least try to give up one of them to lower your risk.
They pair well. Like people, it's a lot of times you have one thing I think that has probably helped curb smoking is just the fact that you can't do it inside anywhere. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because I remember back in the day, if you went into a bar, everybody was sitting there smoking and drinking.
You know,
you can't really.
That was the culture.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. You can't really do that in a lot of places now.
That's made a huge impact.
So I think that's been a positive, a big plus, just the restrictions on where you can smoke. Because it has probably saved a lot of people's lives. I mean, I remember growing up harvesting that tobacco and then you know, I was just like, man, I don't even want to smoke. Why do I have to go out here and work in this field? And then, you know, I started smoking cigars occasionally. But it was never, it never made sense to me to smoke cigarettes. Mm-hmm. It's like, I got to rearrange my whole life to accommodate this habit.
A lot of African Americans smoke and they're horribly addicted. Mm-hmm. You see them get on the bus taking that last puff and blowing the last of the smoke in the driver's face, unfortunately.
Right. Well, they got signs up now. You got to, don't exhale inside the bus.
Yeah. And they've got the cigarette out, you know.
And you can buy them one by one on the street.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you never been approached with loose ones?
Loose ones.
Well, I know in some of the environments I go to treat some of the patients, in certain areas, it's an epidemic. They have to smoke. And if they don't get to smoke, they're not doing their therapy. And so it's a catch 22. And talking about an addiction, that is priority, no matter what. Yeah. I've had.
You want me to fill out this paper?
Yeah.
I need my cigarettes.
Yeah, it's pretty much. I had a patient who, he brought tears to my eyes. But it was his choice. It's his life. And I do believe in that. However, he was doing chemo. He did radiation. But not one day did he stop smoking. He had stage 4 lung cancer. And he was on, I remember his last days, he was adamant about smoking. And no matter, you know, how much I would try to promote or motivate to change a little bit of the behavior. Maybe let's not go 6 times today. Let's try 3. It was no. Yeah. This is what I want to do. And he said, if I die tomorrow, it's okay.
So I had a patient very similar, and it was really early in my days of learning about the plant-based diet. And I'd done a telephone conference on broccoli.
Remind me how long you've been doing this.
Oh, 11 years. Oh. It'll be 11 years August. And he had had lung cancer, and they did cut it out. And I said, well, listen, I don't know a whole lot about this stuff. I told him at the time, but I do know that broccoli helps fight cancer. And he says, I like broccoli. So I didn't see him that often because mostly he would see his oncologist, but I kept in close contact with the oncologist. And probably maybe about 7-8 years later, his cancer came back. And the oncologist reported in the note to me that he would have thought the cancer would have come back well before that. And I thought that was his broccoli. Mm-hmm. That was his broccoli protecting him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because every time he would come in, I talked to him about eating broccoli and eating cruciferous. Mm-hmm. Cruciferous leaves like collards and kale, they're sort of like a little cross. That's why they're called cruciferous. Mm-hmm. You know that little part on the bottom of the collard green?
Mm-hmm.
That's a little cross part of the cross.
Yes,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they, say for instance, if your diet is 20%, say carrots and onions, which aren't cruciferous, you fight cancer 20%. You know, that's your ability to fight cancer. But if you're 20% cruciferous vegetables, your ability to fight cancer is 40%.
It doubles
it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really important, and that's why I eat cruciferous every day.
Very good. Is there anything you can leave with the community to try to, that would possibly leave a tier of motivation? Changing habits are hard. Mm-hmm. We all know them. We all know this. Just to drive a different way to work sometimes is a challenge. No, I'm used to this way. I can get there in 3 minutes. I'll just go this way again. So habits are most definitely difficult to change. Mm-hmm. But what word or thought you can leave here today with the community to suggest the how they can make a change? One small thing. And maybe make a bigger change tomorrow. What would you suggest?
Well, I think knowledge is a lot of it. I didn't know any of this, and I was fortunate enough to have a 3-day class. And most people don't have that option, but there are lots and lots of people out there to help you. In Baltimore, there's the Afro-Vegan Society. They have regular meetings, and they have experts that come in and talk. And if you log on to them, they'll tell you. And they have a wonderful plant-based meal that they serve. It's about every month or two.
Very nice.
And so they're great. And they're also, there's a group called Earth Save. They're out in Pikesville, and they have regular meetings. And the food is fantastic. Everybody shows off as they bring food in. And they have nationally known experts like Michael Greger, who helped Oprah when she was sued by the beef industry.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. And I daily, as a matter of fact, I was on that website today, I read or I look at these 3 to 5 minute videos from a website called nutritionfacts.org. And they'll tell you basically that plant foods are very, very good for you. And animal foods have a lot of hidden dangers that I personally didn't know about, like the seafood and the lack of phytonutrients and there are tons of things about animal foods that people don't know. And sometimes they're put up as to being healthy, but they're really not healthy. Or if they have a little health, you know, one leaf of spinach will have many, many times more of that healthful ingredient. So add some plants to your diet. If you don't like vegetables too much, add some fruit. You know, fruit is very healthful. And start to try to make a switch to whole grains instead of white rice or white pasta. Try to make whole grain pasta. We ate brown rice pasta because we like the texture better than the wheat pasta. And it only takes 3 tries to change your taste buds toward a food. So try it 3 times. By the 3rd time, you'll find that you like it. And
here's the interesting thing. One of the I know that there are a lot of things that's true for me. Our sense of like food aversion is one of like the strongest impulses that we have as humans, because the reason why we dislike something, our instinct to dislike a flavor is associated with us thinking that it's harmful. Mm-hmm. So that's a very strong impulse.
Mm-hmm.
If something tastes bad to you, your brain is saying like, this is bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
So forget that. you know, if you know what's good, you know, if you know what's good, go ahead and just like anything that you almost anything that you try that's bad for you was probably bad to you in the beginning. Like liquor didn't taste great the first time I had it. Wine didn't taste great the first time I had it. I acquired the taste for it.
So it's funny, sometimes if you change it, like for instance, most people wouldn't touch ice cream that was melted. It would taste horrible to them. Mm-hmm. But you freeze it, and for some reason, it tastes good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, but when your taste buds do change, and when you go back to eating animal foods, if you try just a little bit, you get this immediate aversion. So I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like frozen grapes.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I like cold. So rather than eating ice cream, I'll just eat frozen seedless grapes.
Okay. Very good.
Delicious.
Good. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can eat anything cold like that. I don't know.
I mean, you brought up ice cream. I like frozen grapes. Awesome.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Whitaker, for spending time here, sharing your journey, your plant food base, and your journey, how you got there, how you actually had a little struggle initially, like anyone with any change.
Well,
but
actually, I didn't.
You did?
Immediately. Yeah, after I went out, I came out of that class, 3 days of lectures, and my husband had a financial club meeting at our home on Friday. And I'd made these fish nuggets with really spicy covering. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of those left, so I ate those, and that was it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay,
because I was so convinced.
Cold turkey.
Right. Cold.
What would it be?
No,
cold,
that would be.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Cold beans. I don't know.
I was really
cold tofu.
Always hungry
okay.
when I was eating the standard American diet. So what you get to do is you get to eat as much as you want. And I remember during that class hearing that, it's almost like my ears heard it and they just perked up. I can eat as much as I want. And literally, you can eat tons of food. In the China study, the accountants, the ones that never exercised, never walked, never did anything, ate more calories than the meat eaters that were very, very active. And they were still thinner and weighed less. So you get to eat all these wonderful foods. And the fiber, of course, is bulk. Without calories, it just goes right through you.
Right.
So there's real, there are real benefits.
We've been talking a lot about, we've had a minute about, a good little minute in this conversation about excrement. I hope y'all are still all right over there. You know, it's real life. It's real talk. It's real talk. Get that fiber, let it run through you. You know, stand back, you know. Awesome. Awesome. And I like the idea of being able to eat as much as you want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Eat a whole plate. We didn't finish talking about that salad. So you started with muesli and then I interrupted you and said something.
And I always put like a cruciferous vegetable. Today
so cruciferous is like a...
it's a cancer-fighting leaf.
Leafy.
Spinach or kale or Swiss chard or turnip or mustard greens.
Okay.
And then sometimes I'll mix a little lettuce, but not that often. I have beet greens in mine today because I got some nice organic beets the other day and they had the greens, and so I put the beet greens in my salad today.
The greens from the beets?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I put flaxseed, a handful of walnuts for the omega-3 and the flaxseed for the omega-3, and some tomatoes, always red onion. Red onion has a lot more nutrition than yellow or white onion. Mm. And shallots. Oh, they didn't have those at the sale today. Shallots, if I can find those and they're not too expensive, I'll buy those and put those in because they have a red tinge. Leeks are very high in nutrition too. Garlic. Mm-hmm. My spices that go on are turmeric, garlic, cumin, ginger. There's at Aldi's, they serve an Italian seasoning and the first ingredient is marjoram. Marjoram is loaded with phytonutrients. It says marjoram and basil and a couple other those little green leafy things in there. And I sprinkle that on one and what else? And I usually use either a balsamic vinegar for dressing or sometimes avocado. I've got an avocado now, so I'll put that on.
So are any of the ingredients cooked or are they all raw or what?
Raw, yeah.
So this is all raw. So this is just a whole hour.
I was morbidly obese. So although most people say eat more cooked food, for me, I like to eat mostly raw food because I had a My dad told me one time, he had a cousin that came and he broke the couch. He was so big, he broke the couch. Mm. And my dad and my mom were never, they were never normal body weight. They're always overweight. And but I have two brothers that are morbidly obese. And so I have a lot of obesity in my family. And the thing about obesity is the reason you see so many African-Americans with obesity is because we were starved during slavery. In any community or any group that's starved, they develop the genes to pack on the pounds. So I personally believe that's why you see fewer whites who are overweight and obese than you see African-Americans, because they weren't starved at some point during their
right.
During
yeah,
their history.
I do. There is definitely a
and we
connection
were
between.
If it wasn't the harvest season, African American slaves were starved.
I mean, I
just enough to eat.
I remember my grandfather, who sharecropped, told me about sort of the way the game was played around harvest season. So you have to borrow money all year. Mm-hmm. To just kind of stay alive, and it was, and you only wanted to borrow enough so that you didn't want to borrow so much that you were going to have anything at the end of the harvest. So mm-hmm. borrow all year mm-hmm. to live, have the harvest, have to split mm-hmm. the proceeds of the harvest in half with the landowner,
and then try and live off of,
and then trying to live off of what that half for the year, and trying to balance, okay, if I have more children, we can produce more, mm-hmm. but we also have to feed more people. Mm-hmm. So everybody had to everybody was a hand as well. So you don't even have to go back to slavery. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had this thing where it was just like this little rhyme, like daddy went to the store and bought two bananas, one for him and grandma and one for the rest of us. Wow. Wow. You know what I'm saying? But it was like, I forgot the way the rhyme went, but it was just like, that is so much ingrained in, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be learned from our more traditional diets. I knew when, you know, my mother was very much older, and I have a brother, well, he passed away a couple years ago, but he and I never lived in the household. He was away at college when I was born, so we had a widespread in our family. And I remember, so my mom, and she grew up on, like in a rural area. So a lot of greens, a little bit of meat in them, a lot of potatoes, a lot of cabbage. We would eat a lot of black-eyed peas. So I sort of had the advantage of liking those foods already mm-hmm. when I transitioned back to them. They're finding that Nutrition MD is associated with a group called Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. And they have gone around the world and they're getting people back on their traditional diets. And they're seeing, even though India has a huge rate of diabetes and a huge rate of obesity because they're eating like Americans mm-hmm. do. And getting people to, you know, focus back on their traditional diets in this country, Native American culture's highest rate of diabetes in the world almost. Mm-hmm. And getting them focus on it's a reason, it's an extra incentive as far as a reason to eat like that.
Yes.
You mm-hmm. know, to, you know, I'm doing something that my great great grandparents did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure I really enjoyed hearing about your journey, and glad that knowledge put a battery in your back.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And got you sharing this message with all the people that you have the opportunity to impact with the work that you do.
And so I love to see the passion she has for it. I've known you for...
You feel so yes. good. Every day you wake up yeah. and you don't... And sometimes I'll mess up. I'll have a... There's these cookies called Complete Cookies, and they're vegan cookies, but they have something really bad called palm oil in them, which is saturated fat. It's plant mm-hmm. fat, but it's saturated fat.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, I'll eat one of those. And I have a little ache for a while if I eat one of those, because they have 9 grams of saturated fat.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't eat things like that very, very often. Mm-hmm. And the thing I love the most, though, when I want sugar, I eat dates. And dates are... Mm. They are loaded with sugar. dates have more sugar than Frosted Flakes, but they're packed with fiber and phytonutrients. So you can eat all the dates you want, and they don't raise your blood sugar. I love dates.
It doesn't raise your blood sugar.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's the fiber and the phytonutrients. Uh-huh,
which you were talking about earlier.
Very good. Okay. Yeah. Well, Dr. Nellie Whitaker, we really enjoyed your stay with us today. I learned a lot that I didn't realize I didn't know. And what about you, Jared?
So I learned mostly about the pain reduction, like getting rid of the aches and pains part is a big thing that was, that stood out to me in the conversation, because I had this brief window where I was vegetarian. I wasn't eating meat, but I was one of those vegetarians that was eating, like you said, the bagels and the like cake and
French
like
fries.
Yeah, I was like the unhealthy vegetarian eater. So I didn't get all of those benefits. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't, I actually gained some weight.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, actually, that's what happened to me when I first, I'm trying to think of what point in my life, I actually gave up chicken and I was eating fish, and once a month I would eat lamb, but the rest of it was mostly, and I was eating feta cheese, but everything else was plants, and I gained weight when I eat like that. A lot of pasta, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was it. And the challenge that I had was, when I was doing this, I was actually in Korea. I was in the Army at the time. So my ability and freedom to kind of prepare really well-balanced, healthy meals was kind of limited. Mm-hmm. So I just had to get anything on the line that wasn't meat.
Yes.
So it was a whole
bunch. So it was a lot of pasta, rice,
absolutely.
And bread.
So I was like, man, I'm just going to go ahead and start back eating chicken because I'm getting fat.
And actually, those diets, the American College of Cardiology, I think, had an article. And they said that those diets are worse than the standard American
diet. Right. So that's why I gave it up. I was like, well, I'm just going to start back eating meat again. Because I didn't get those benefits that you were talking about by, you know, working with the whole foods and doing that. So that was a while ago.
It's easier now. It really
is. It's a lot easier now.
Almost every restaurant has some plant-based options for you.
Right.
There's Chipotle. There's
right. Well, I don't even eat out a lot. I mean, just being in a situation now where I have more control over the way that I prepare my food, and even being in a living situation where I don't have to accommodate, because it's a hard road to go by yourself. Like if you're in a relationship and you go vegan and, you know, the rest of the family is really not on board, you might have a problem on your hands in terms of being able to, you know, if you can't.
Well, there are people that will sort of put you down, but what one thing they recommend you say, and again, they've studied this, is like, well, this is something I'm going to try out for my health. I'm going to just give this a try and see if I feel better. Mm-hmm. And nobody's going to
put
you down for that.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's not them putting you down, being in an environment where
people know that they're not eating well.
Right.
And if
right.
they see somebody else eating well, they're going to say,
haters going to hate.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So that's what I mean. Like the temptation, like, you hungry. You hungry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Throw you some chicken on there.
Yeah.
You hungry.
Yeah.
You look.
Yeah. You look mighty.
Right. Right.
There's a lot of players.
People
want to
bring you down.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what I mean. So I don't have any of that. Like, I don't have anybody to hate on me.
It's not necessarily R1, although the health benefits are best when you're completely vegan. But, what's his name? Mark Bittman, who wrote How to Cook Everything Vegetarian and How to Cook Everything, and he's a New York Times editor. He did vegan before 6. So maybe for breakfast he'd have oatmeal. Maybe for lunch he'd eat a salad or a soup, a bean-based soup or something. And then after dinner, he ate what he wanted. Now, let me tell you, I saw him on TV. He's chubby and he runs, too. So he didn't get, he didn't get the weight advantage.
Right.
But his diet is much, much better Right. And if he ate that every single meal.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, yes.
So and do it. You know, everybody should try to increase the number of plants, particularly fruits and vegetables in their diet.
Dr. Whitaker, I think that's a very good point you just made and emphasized, because like I was saying earlier, change is, it's very difficult. But I like when you express that maybe we should just try something. If we can just add a little bit of plants or a little bit more beans or barley to your diet, that will create more health opportunities for you.
And you'll be fuller, mm-hmm. and you're less likely to eat, particularly with beans. Beans give you something called a second meal effect. Mm-hmm. So when you eat beans in a meal, that satiety spreads over to the next day. And so you eat less. They can measure the calories and you eat less the next day. Nuts are sort of like that too.
Nuts are
sort of interesting. They're super high in calories, but when they've done a gazillion studies on nuts, you don't gain weight when you eat nuts.
It is true.
So having a peanut butter sandwich instead of a burger, mm-hmm. you won't, even though those are super, they're higher in calories than meat, but you don't gain weight. But with a caveat to that, you have to eat natural butters. So you can get it at the health food store. I buy something called Just Peanuts, mm-hmm. and you buy it in Giant, and it comes in. I don't get the chunky. I get the plain. But it's only nuts. That's the only thing. There's no salt in it either.
But they're not going to add stuff to it.
Sometimes they add palm oil or other types of oils, and you don't want that kind of peanut butter. But when you just eat nuts and nut butters, the other thing it does, it cuts your risk of dropping dead 50% eating a handful of nuts because of magnesium. Mm-hmm. We were talking about magnesium.
Yes.
Yeah. And lack of magnesium, that's mostly in plant foods and, again, in leafy foods that a lot of people don't eat, causes cardiac sudden death. Huge rate of cardiac sudden death among African Americans, mm-hmm. particularly men. Mm-hmm. What happened to your uncle? Well, you know, he just went to bed and he just didn't wake up. Mm-hmm. That's cardiac sudden death. Within an hour of the time that you have symptoms, you're dead. And nobody can bring you back for that. And a handful of nuts. Tell your relatives, to your older relatives, have a handful of raw, unsalted mm-hmm. nuts every day. Mm-hmm. And you can eat peanuts, cashews, almonds, whatever they like. Macadamia nuts.
Pistachio.
Pistachios.
Yes.
Any kind of, all kinds of nuts work except coconuts, which aren't nuts. And there's another kind of nut that didn't work. But it, mainly those types of tree nuts or non-tree nuts that really cut your risk of sudden death 50%. No pill does that.
Mm-hmm.
No
good.
Pill.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. Well, once again, I want to thank you for spending the time with us to educate the community, share your journey, also motivate them, because I'm even more so motivated just hearing how I can sort of change my diet even more.
Waiting on that book.
Yes,
that,
we are.
That
we
article, talked. That's something. We waiting on it.
We've been talking
you know,
about
there's
that.
There's a wonderful book out by a woman. Her first book, Tracy McQuitter, I think her name is, and she's an African-American nutritionist. And her first book was called By Any Greens Necessary.
Oh, I like that.
But she has a wonderful book now.
I see what she did.
It's called Ageless Vegan. And it features her 106-year-old thing, I think, grandmother, her mother, and herself. Mm-hmm. And this is a woman, I've seen her in person. She came to an Afro-Vegan Society meeting. Super slender, tall, gorgeous skin. Just the picture of health. Mm-hmm. And, but you can get her book, both of her books, and
what you're saying right now is you're not going to do it. We got to get hers.
No, I have some other things that I want to
okay.
work on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll be keeping an eye out, and
yes.
whenever those things happen, if they're going to be available to the public, make sure that you let us know so we can share it with the community.
All right.
Most definitely. Thank you.
All right.
The Wellness Connection podcast is brought to you by Hail Wellness, a social and interactive platform where we connect our community to local businesses, organizations, and individuals who have tools, services, and programs that nurture the mind, body, and spirit. Engage in awareness by taking our free wellness assessment and take first steps towards optimizing your wellness. Visit wellnessconnection.com. Dot health.